If you have any experience of dementia, you'll know that it can cause a degree of agitation, even aggression. People can become uncharacteristically aggressive and a danger to themselves and to others. To calm them down, in nursing homes, antipsychotic medication and other psychotropic drugs are often used. But is this always the best approach? And what are your rights when it comes to this kind of medication? Professor Carmel Pisa is from the School of Psychiatry at the University of New South Wales. Hello, Carmel. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Amanda. Thank you for having me.
Now, what do we know about the use, perhaps overuse, of antipsychotics and other drugs like tranquilizers in aged care homes?
Well, we know it's a worldwide phenomena and that rates of nursing home use around the world in nursing homes sometimes can reach up to as much as 80% of patients, usually around 20% of patients in nursing homes. The other issue is that these rates are increasing in some ways.
So why can it be a problem for people to be on these drugs?
Because they don't work, because there are better non-side effect, non-dangerous methods of calming the person. And
what are the side effects, the negative side effects?
Well, firstly, I want to say that it's not just about antipsychotics and that a lot of the emphasis has been on antipsychotics. It's antipsychotics and all sedatives, so yeah. Benzodiazepines, anticonvulsants are often overused. So I think that's really important. Side effects are many. Rarely, but significantly, they cause death, but commonly they cause falls, they cause making the person quieter, less cognitively alert, they cause rigidity.
Well, one listener, Anne, wrote to us to tell us about the impact that an antipsychotic medication called Risperdal had on her mother, who was in the high care dementia ward of an aged care facility. And Anne says, "My concerns about the prolonged and routine use of Risperdal as part of my mother's pharmacological regime continued throughout her residency. Within a short period of time, I observed my feisty, opinionated, and often irreverent mother transform into a submissive, vulnerable, sad, whining, and ultimately helpless person. As her guardian and agent in relation to healthcare decisions, I continued to ask the staff if the medication could be discontinued. The reply was always along the lines that my mother required it to manage her agitation." And Anne goes on to say that she thinks the use of this drug did help shorten her mother's life, and how terribly sad and regretful she is that, as she says, "My mother had to live out her final years in the way that she did." Carmel, what's your response to hearing this experience?
Good on Anne. Good on Anne for making a mark. And this is the whole point of our project that we're doing, Empowered Project, funded by the government, is to empower people like Anne to ask the questions, to go to the GP and the staff and to say, why is Mum on this medication?
In Anne's case, it didn't help, though.
Well, it's actually illegal to put somebody on medication without getting consent of the person themselves, if they're able to do so, or what we call their substitute decision maker. And in fact, Anne's case, she was the guardian. So Anne is the one who's got the right to make the decision. We don't do things to older people anymore. We don't do things particularly to older people in nursing homes anymore. We do things with consent, and we discuss the risks and the advantages. And most importantly, Anne wasn't appraised of why Mum was agitated. And there are much better ways of treating agitation than throwing risperidone and writing a script for risperidone.
Is that how you pronounced it? Right.
Risperidone. Yeah. Having said that, though, risperidone is, if you are going to use a drug, it is the one that's approved on the PBS to be used in certain circumstances. So I must say that.
All right. Well, Carmel, as well as your academic position, you're also the president of Capacity Australia. It's a not-for-profit that in general supports and encourages people to participate in decision making. And you've got this project you mentioned, Empowered, that's specifically about dementia and behaviour controlling medication in aged care. Tell us about what the project's wanting to do.
For years, I've been obsessed about shouting from the rooftops about what I know about the best care for people in nursing homes with dementia, and empowering other carers and consumers with the same knowledge that I have, and particularly about their rights. The Empowered Project is currently in 2,600 GPs across Australia, and when I say it's in those general practices, we've got pamphlets, we've got screens, we've got videos, and we've also educated GPs at the same time.
But it's actually targeted
at consumers
and but family members.
Yes, yeah. Yes, and I don't want somebody. But it's also to upskill GPs as well, because I don't want family members to go, like Anne, to go to their GP and say, "Hey, why is Mum on the risperidone?" And the GP to turn to them and say, "I don't know what you're talking about. I really wanted to make sure that if people were, it's a call for action to people go and ask their GPs." Well, the GPs need to be equally informed, because this is complex stuff.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, and as part of, Carmel, as part of your work, you visit a lot of aged care facilities. I imagine you encounter residents who do need to be calmed, perhaps restrained with some sort of antipsychotic medication or sedative. You know, I mean, there are plenty of instances where their use is warranted, surely.
Certainly. I'm always worried about the word calmed. I think that's often an adverse side effect, being sedated or calmed, and I used it myself. I think that the most important thing is to look at the symptom, and it's not always aggression. It can be screaming, it can be difficulty sleeping, but you've got to work out why the person's showing that changed behaviour.
So are you saying it can be for factors other than the dementia itself?
It can be due to the dementia itself, but most importantly, the dementia itself stops the person being able to communicate. For example, if they're in pain, they're not going to put their hand up, press the buzzer and say, "I'm in pain, can I have some Panadol?" They may scream. They may resist care because they're in pain. And so rather than writing up a script, you find out why they're screaming, why they're agitated. That's the way we approach things, not to necessarily reach for a script. But you ask me, occasionally, are these drugs appropriate? Absolutely. And one of the facts that we're teaching in the Empowered Project, we never say never about drugs. In very rare circumstances, when the person's behaviour is at risk, like you mentioned at the opening, Gambit, at risk to themselves or others when it's severe, or if the person's quite paranoid, that's quite distressing, and that's when I would definitely reach for a script.
Well, let's hear a voice memo now sent in by Gina, whose experience around all this is quite different from the previous listeners, Anne. Gina's father is in a residential facility for people with dementia.
My father has been administered antipsychotic medications to assist with managing the physical aggression, agitation and sleep disturbances that he experiences. In the hospital environment, where Dad was getting up at 2 a.m. in the morning to go to work, it wasn't really conducive to the environment, and he was given medications that had an immediate effect to ultimately keep himself and others safe. Once he moved into his residential care home, the medications were reviewed by a team of psychiatrist, doctor, registered nurse, and all in consultation with myself. I communicate a lot with the staff and always consulted about the recommended medication changes. And in that, I mean reductions, not just increases. There's been a lot of trial and error over the last 2 years, just because the dosage of medications, you know, they really have to be personalised so that they don't inhibit my dad living. He's able to get up now at 2 a.m. without recourse, and he's free to wander in the garden, even do some gardening if he likes. And he's extremely mobile and paces non-stop most days. I think the person-centred approach in the home means that they focus on addressing the underlying contributing factors rather than the behaviour itself. And by that I mean, you know, infection, discomfort or pain can exacerbate, you know, a behaviour. And I guess with the experience of the staff who've got the specialised training, most of the time they really can manage my dad. They can de-escalate a situation almost immediately without the use of medication. It doesn't always work, but, you know, majority of the time it does.
Well, from what Gina is saying in that voice memo, there does seem to be a quite tailored care in her father's aged care home, and they include her in the decision making, quite different from what we heard with Anne and her mother. Carmel, how common is that experience for with Gina and her father, or is it the exception at the moment?
I don't want to sound too negative and cynical. I don't want to. I want to empower people without being overly cynical, but I think that unfortunately that perhaps is the minority. But it's such a beautiful example and of collaborative work, that putting our heads together, it's not just one person who knows all the answers, consulting the family and changing. So what's okay right now mightn't be okay in a month. It's actually a perfect example of good care, but I think it does happen in the minority of cases.
In Life Matters, your rights when it comes to the use of antipsychotic medications and other drugs to manage difficult behaviour with dementia in aged care. And do you have any experience of this, a family member who you think has been maybe over-medicated in this way, or appropriately so, in consultation with you? So far we've heard stories at either end of that spectrum. Be good to hear yours too. You can get in touch via Facebook. Carmel Pisa from Capacity Australia. Stay with us. I just want to turn now, though, to a study done by the University of Tasmania recently. It found that behaviour-controlling medication can be reduced in aged care facilities when staff have the knowledge about the harms and about the alternatives. In fact, the study saw drug use reduced by 13% across 150 places. We spoke with Tamara McLeod. Now, she's the nurse practitioner at Goodwin Aged Care Facilities in Canberra, and they were able to reduce the amount of these sorts of drugs they were prescribing because of this reduced study from the University of Tasmania. Here's Tamara.
What the program involved was we actually appointed some champion nurses at each site. Then we did some baseline antipsychotic and benzo profiling. We did training, and then we did some reviews of all of those medications. So the key factors for us in reducing our antipsychotic and benzodiazepines was really about the structure. And I think having points during the journey over that 6 month period where we had to touch base. So we're almost made accountable at every step of the process. And we were given structured education and a structured way to actually approach the prescribers and the families. And we had literature as well that we could talk to them about. So we actually get monthly reports from our supplier pharmacy, which will tell us all currently prescribed antipsychotics and benzos, all newly commenced antipsychotics and benzos, and ones that are on a reduction program. We also track with our falls every week across all of our sites. We actually do a lot of tracking, and one of the points that we track is, are they prescribed an antipsychotic or a benzodiazepine, and are they on a reduction program? So at Goodwin, we sat below the benchmark at the baseline, so our numbers weren't high, but we still thought we had a lot to gain by being part of the project. So our antipsychotics across Goodwin reduced by an average of 15%, and our benzodiazepines reduced by an average of 16%, with one of our sites getting down to only 2% of residents prescribed benzodiazepines.
And Tamara McLeod is a nurse practitioner in Canberra with Goodwin Aged Care Facilities. Carmel Pisa, are you encouraged by this? Any cautions?
No, absolutely not. And it just shows you how it can be done. And I think a lot of the cynics about this kind of intervention is that it's costly, that we can't implement some of these changes that are put in by a funded research program. But it really shows that it can be done. And I think with a collaborative effort with the GP, with the nursing staff, with the local services. One other thing for people to be aware is that Dementia Support Australia has a 24-hour helpline number, and people need to know about that. Nursing homes often don't know that it even exists, let alone use it. And that's 1-800-699-799. That's a free helpline for person who is agitated. Nursing home don't know what to do. to contact.
We'll have that number on our website too, Carmel. That's great. Carmel Pisa is conjoint professor in the School of Psychiatry at the University of New South Wales. She's also the president of Capacity Australia, which is running this Empowered project. There's a link to it and other information around the use of behaviour modifying medication in nursing homes for people with dementia on the Life Matters homepage. Carmel, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do this. Thank you.